You know, that kind of maybe is a little bit of a segue to talk about one of your interests or major interests at this point, which is what happens after primary therapy for breast cancer, after the surgery, after the radiation, if it's going to be given, and after chemotherapy, that next phase, which they might be getting hormone therapy or they might, if their tumors ER negative, you know, be moving on and not having any treatment. Can you talk a little bit about the research you've done in this area and sort of some of the issues that have come out in these patients?
My focus in my research is looking at the needs and the concerns and the problems that women with breast cancer encounter after treatment ends. And that's a whole host of different factors that all come together. The first thing at the very end of treatment, what they would like to know is, how am I going to incorporate all this experience into my life? Well, that's very important, but it's not something that can be done every day. It has to be done each day, and it's not going to be all accomplished at one time. And the second piece that they're concerned about is when I'm going to be coming back for follow-up. And so the studies that I've done really starts at the point when patients finish their treatment. Yes, they're on hormonal therapy, but they're really integrating their cancer experience back into their lives, getting back to work again, the concerns that they have either about disclosure or the need for follow-up or their insurance concerns. The second issue has to do with some of the physical side effects. Clearly, the sleep problems continue. Fatigue tends to lessen, except in older patients where there might be some other reasons why they'd be having that fatigue. And the third big thing that is on their mind is, will my cancer come back? I think 25, 30 years ago, the diagnosis of cancer in many of the public's mind was, this is my death sentence. And today, people think that recurrences, they don't understand necessarily that there are the treatment options that are out there, that there are many ways that recurrence can also be treated. They think oftentimes that this is the end and there is no treatment. And in the past several months, I think Elizabeth Edwards has done a tremendous amount of putting the face of recurrent breast cancer into the public's eye. She's out there. She's active. She's receiving treatment. She's managing her life. It's a whole other chapter in her cancer life that's affecting her life, but it's still one where she is vibrant and she is active and she's undergoing treatment. And I think that that is a concern that women do have.
I hear a lot about the fact that patients expect much worse than what's going to happen, even in primary disease. They think that for sure they're going to die. You know, they might have an extremely favorable situation, but until they're really educated, they feel like they're going to die immediately. But, you know, on the other hand, and you talk about Elizabeth Edwards, as I watch that, and I kind of mixed feelings about it, because, you know, most people with metastatic breast cancer, I mean, the median survival is like a year and a half, 2 years. And, yeah, we see people who survive 5 or 10 years, but it's a bad situation.
Yes.
It's a tragic situation. I'm sure patients might think it's going to be worse than it is, but it's still not too good.
I would agree. I think, you know, maybe separating out those differences. If someone has bone metastasis, and that can certainly be treated, that's a very different kind of situation than if someone else has organic systemic disease. Another round of chemo, different types of chemo, yes, it's got to start all over again. In those women who've had the recurrent disease, when they go back for therapy, at first they tell us that the nurses say, oh, well, you've been through this before. You know what it's going to be like. You basically kind of know the drill. It's a whole different perspective, though, and they don't feel that way. And so in some instances, any kind of discussion about how they're feeling, their psychosocial concerns, basically don't get said. They hold it in because they see that their team considers them the expert patient at that point when they're really in a very, very different part of their life. And so absolutely agree with you. And it's not a great situation.